welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 5th. How did we get to August already? I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and too pooped to rock, Melissa Hansen.
I'm too pooped to rock?
Yeah, normally you're at Lollapalooza at this time of year, and
it
didn't go.
It's too much.
Yeah.
You know, again, like, how is it August already? Summer has flown by.
Yeah.
Just didn't have time to fit everything in.
Yeah. So what have you been up to entertainment-wise?
I watched this past week the BBC series Line of Duty.
What's that?
It is a cop show.
Oh.
And, you know, along the lines of all those really great cop shows.
Sure.
Like Luther I'd watched, I talked about before. And so I kept seeing this on Hulu. And checked it out, and it's one series out. It looks like they're going to be making another one. This is from 2012. And it's kind of younger police officer. I'm just going to use American kind of terms.
Yeah, that's fine.
So y'all understand. So police officer, younger police officer, and, he ends up, stuff goes down, and he ends up getting transferred to the anti-corruption unit. And it turns out they're investigating like the cop of the year kind of thing. And so once it comes to light, they're investigating him. Like everybody hates the young cop now, and he's not sure he really did anything. And then there's all these stories interwoven in there. And it's nice. It's all wrapped up within the one series. So it's kind of, you know, watching a miniseries. Amazing performances. It's not a cast I really know from other things.
Okay.
They've all done other work, you know, in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, they have a bit of a resume, but it's nobody I really recognized or knew.
All right.
So Martin Compston is the star, and Lenny James is one of the other stars. Vicky McClure, they're not people I know, but they're amazing. Top notch.
Cool.
You know, writing, acting, it's what you expect.
Yeah.
Like a British cop show. It's great.
All right.
So, no, I totally recommend that one. And I'm looking forward to the next series, which haven't been shooting yet, I don't think, but they've announced they will be. And it's 5 episodes, they're each like an hour long.
All right.
So it's easy to kind of, you know, blow through it pretty quick.
Well, I like the Brits format. I mean, I would rather have 3 fantastic episodes of 90-minute Sherlock's than an entire 22-episode season of mediocre stuff.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, I like it. And it's all kind of wrapped up, you know, in this. And, you know, it was a great, almost, you know, long movie kind of thing. And anyhow, if you like British cop shows and you haven't caught Line of Duty, it's up there.
And it's on Hulu for streaming.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Very nice. My stuff has all been random. I'm launching one stage show this week, and we're rehearsing another, so my time has been very wonky.
You are being the entertainment.
Yeah, I am being the entertainment.
Watching the entertainment.
But there have been a couple things that have come into the office that I've been falling asleep to at night and trying to finish off in the next morning. There's a Charlie Chan box set from Warner Brothers.
Ooh.
And this is a tail end of the very long black and white 1940s Charlie Chan. So Warner Oland was the original actor who played, and these are all Caucasian actors who played Asian characters, which was a big sticking point.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Oland started the franchise, and that's what I grew up with watching. So when these other actors came in after Warner passed away, I thought, it's not going to be so good. But Sidney Toler did a fantastic job and actually had more movies than Warner did. And his stuff I caught up with on Netflix over the past several years. They had been randomly including a bunch of movies here and there, and I fell in love with it became much more comedic because they had the Rochester-type character played by Matt Moreland, who is kind of the chauffeur, the black chauffeur, who kind of gave that Little Rascals-type, you know, comic relief.
Okay.
And he did more with his children as opposed to just having number one son. They had number two son and number three daughter and all these, you know, other characters who would come
out.
So it had much more of that crime-solving but, you know, lighthearted family tone. So this box set has one of the final Sidney Toler films, and you could tell he was aging and he was not in good health. But then they have Roland Winters, who takes over the role, who was another British actor that took on this, you know, Asian character. And it became a much more intense, self-aware mystery.
Okay.
A lot more exposition, a lot more to the stories. And there's three of them in this set. And the first one I watched, I'm like, oh, I don't like it, because I was so used to that lighthearted.
Right, you know, right. It's easy. A different thing. You have to, yeah.
Very different. But then when the final two, I really began to appreciate where they were trying to take the series.
Okay.
So if you have an interest in the character, and I'm amazed that it's a character that has not been rebooted yet.
That's true.
I'm really surprised, and I don't know if they're waiting for a very strong...
Yeah, we haven't really seen it since cartoon in the 70s.
That's right. That's right. And it was Key Luke, who played number one son in the film franchise, voiced Charlie Chan in the animated series.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool.
And those of you who remember Key Luke from playing the shop owner in the two Gremlins movies.
Yes.
Who gave them Gizmo.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, no, this is worth checking out if you have never seen any of the Roland Winters, Charlie Chan's, a very different character, and it's worth seeing. So that's on its way from Warner Brothers. What else? Well, hey, box office this past week. We're getting into that going back to school.
Yeah, we're slumping.
Yeah, we are. And there's not much going on, is there?
No, it's, yeah, compared to what we've had recently, we're back to what we had, yeah, like in the winter. Two Guns came in first, but only $27 million. And then The Wolverine came in second with not quite $22 million.
All right.
Not so good. That's $95 million total for that one now. And then Smurfs 2 came in third with $18 million. The Conjuring, almost $14 million. So that one. That broke $100 million at the box office.
Wow. So my sister posted on her Facebook page that she saw it, and she's like, don't go.
Oh.
Because she and her husband are all into these ghost hunting reality shows and all that kind of stuff. That's all they watch. And I guess it scared the piss out of her.
Or it didn't scare her.
Oh, no. I think it was disturbing to her, because now I think she's going to go home and stay up at night thinking that there's something going on around.
Oh, see, that's what I would do. That's why I don't watch these things.
Right.
All right. Anyhow, Despicable Me is rounding out the top five, which is over $10 million. So.
Good movie.
Yeah. Wait, Matt's over $300 million total at the box.
I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised. And yet Turbo, like we talked about last week, there's nothing in that gas tank.
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah, that still made the top 10, but just over $6 million.
Yep. This week we have two Wednesday openings to capitalize on getting the kids into the theater before they head back to school.
Okay.
I know some people are already starting school this week, which is weird.
It depends. It's different all over the country.
Yeah.
So
Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
All right.
The second film in the franchise. And then the Jason Sudeikis, Jennifer Aniston comedy, which looks like a remake of National Lampoon's Vacation, called We're the Millers.
You know. Yeah, but much more naughty. It's not just Christie Brinkley blowing kisses. There's not the level of naughty in this.
All right.
So it's about National Lampoon, but they're not going to an amusement park.
Yeah.
They're like moving a shipment of weed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like he puts together a fake family.
Oh,
he gets his like stripper, Jennifer Aniston, to play his wife.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's a National Lampoon with quite a bent to it.
All right.
So.
And then on Friday, we've got Neil Blomkamp's sci-fi thriller Elysium with Matt Damon and Jodie Foster.
Ooh, yeah.
And then Disney's originally intended direct-to-DVD Cars spinoff called Planes. And they fired John Cryer. John Cryer was the voice of the main character. And he recorded, I think, pretty much everything, and then they got rid of him and replaced him with Dane Cook.
Wait, well, that is really different.
Yeah.
Going there, wow. So, trying to be hip.
I guess. Throwing some F-bombs or something into the movie.
All right, then.
No, I don't think that'll happen.
Okay.
If you are not going to be at the box office, you want to know what's coming to DVD this week, DVDverdict.com, upcoming releases. We've got Oblivion with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman, which was a very good attempt at classic kind of Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov sci-fi.
Okay, it's never a good sign when you put the words attempt.
They tried really hard, and I think the possibility was there to make it work. It kind of didn't finish its thought. Oh, you know, it ran out of gas before it could really emphasize what it was trying to do.
It's a good attempt.
Yeah. But we haven't seen it. I mean, you're talking about Michael Bay kind of sci-fi, which is Transformers and, you know, or Pacific Rim, where it's just big and bombastic. This is really kind of heady, make you think, have some reveals sci-fi.
Okay. Yeah, I like that stuff better.
Yeah. Duck Dynasty Season 3, speaking of reality television. Ugh. Dave Johnson loves this show.
Everyone loves this show, but you know me.
Matthew McConaughey and Reese Witherspoon in Mud, which has built quite a little bit of buzz around the film. Clark is working on a review right now, so I'm curious to see what he thinks. Community Season 4, which I went back and watched on Hulu and was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be.
I said this the whole time.
I know you did, and I just think that the general pervasive feeling was without Dan Harmon, the show was shit.
Yeah.
And there are some really good moments in there.
There are.
The puppet episode where they go on the camping trip was really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But Harmon's back for season 5, so.
And which is good.
Shooting his mouth off again and raking NBC over the coals. And I'm like, dude, just put a sock in it.
All right?
Let your talent show on the screen and not your wacky mouth.
Yeah.
And then there's 3 vintage DVD or Disney Blu-rays this week. Sword in the Stone, Robin Hood, and Oliver and Company. Now, we're talking C-level Disney. They're not classics, all right? But there's some nice stuff that goes on in each one of them, except for Oliver and Company. I watched it with my nieces and nephew, and I'm like, what the heck is this? Over at Redbox, still sticking with the hard media, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, if you feel you need to get caught up before you watch the new one, X-Men Origins Wolverine, same thing, and Dominic Purcell in Assault on Wall Street.
Ready then.
Uh-huh. Streaming media. Netflix has. Oh, you're going to want to set this aside. Breakfast Club.
Ooh. Ooh.
Finally comes to Netflix. Stargate with.
Okay, the original.
The original with Kurt Russell. Yep.
Nice.
Zodiac, which is David Fincher, right?
It's a really good movie.
Yep.
It's not really what you think it is. It's just, ooh, it's so good.
All right. And that's Jake Gyllenhaal, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. All right.
Part of his making his comeback.
Oh.
Yeah, really good in that.
All right. And then Kevin Smith's Zack and Miri Make a Porno, which kind of...
I like that movie. I actually really like that movie.
That really kind of gave Seth Rogen his cinematic break after Freaks and Geeks, the jump from television to movies.
Yeah, it helped or hurt. Depends who you talk to.
Yeah, well, and then Knocked Up. I mean, he really broke with that.
Yeah, then with that whole,
yeah.
That gang.
Yeah, the Apatow gang. Yeah. Hulu's got crap this week. Aside from Krzysztof Kieslowski's Double Life of Veronique from Criterion Collection. And then there's terrible, terrible made-for-TV thrillers, like Terror in the Shadows with Jeannie Francis. And Runaway Father with Donna Mills.
Oh, my.
I know, right?
Wow, we're just reaching back to the 80s there.
Mm-hmm. And then there's 2 unauthorized biographies, one of Princess Diana and the other one of her son, Prince William.
Okay.
And that's all I've got for media this week.
Okay, well, on TV, finally, the finale of The Bachelorette is on Monday on ABC. And also the season finale of The Fosters on ABC Family. That's Monday. And the boring stuff during the week. But then this weekend, Strike Back premieres this next season on Cinemax. Cinemax did more than just sex stuff. It does, like, series.
Yeah, there are two. Dave just reviewed two brand new original series from Cinemax, and he is, like, head over heels for both of them.
Yeah, they're totally jumping into the whole what used to be HBO and Showtime and then became, like, AMC.
And FX, yep.
And FX kind of thing. So, anyhow, Cinemax has joined that. Saturday on Stars, same type of thing. The White Queen series debut, which looks like a whole Game of Thronesy kind of thing going on there. It's based on a series of books too. So, but Sunday night, man, whatever you like to watch, you got it. Breaking Bad premiere on AMC, and then also on AMC, Low Winter Sun, a new series. It's a cop series. And then on Bravo, brand new series called Eat, Drink, Love. It's a reality series about women in the food industry in Los Angeles.
Well, there's a very specific target.
Uh-huh. So it's a bunch of younger women running around LA being crazy.
All right.
There you go. And then Fox has the Teen Choice.
Okay.
And it's hosted by Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars, but also co-hosted by Darren Criss.
Oh.
From Glee, and just one of my favorite performers and people.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that's all that's Sunday night. Hmm. Okay, music.
Yes.
Now 47.
Holy crap.
We started this how many years ago?
Oh, my God.
It's been a while, but not 47 years long. So, man, they're cranking those things out. Anyhow, Now 47, that's what I call music, is out this week. The Civil Wars, new album called The Civil Wars.
How original.
Is out. Hugh Laurie has yet another one. He must be really bored since House ended.
Yeah.
So this one's called Didn't It Rain? And then KT Tunstall is back.
Oh.
Invisible Empire Crescent Moon is the name of her new album. And then Chick Corea.
What?
Has an album called The Vigil.
He's gotta be old by now.
Yeah, but that's out this week.
Good for him.
Books. Okay. That was quite a long break we had, but...
Oh, boy.
James Patterson, this time with David Ellis, has a new one called Mistress. Oh, well. And then Faye Kellerman in her Peter Decker, Rena Lazarus series. It's the 21st.
Wow.
And called The Beast. It's her new one. There's a whole bunch of Agatha Christie's out on ebook format now this week. If you are a fan of hers and have her books, you can pick them up electronically now. And then there's a new book. Again, some things I say because I like the author, some things I just know they're big books, and sometimes I like the titles. Do Cool Shit. Quit your day job, start your own business, and live happily ever after. It's a female entrepreneur, and I'm going to butcher her last name, but her first name is Mickey.
Uh-huh.
Her last name is Agrawal.
Agrawal.
Thank you.
Yep. I had a guy who used to work for me at Motorola, with me at Motorola. Agrawal. Yeah.
Related. So, okay. That is out. And then if you are a fan of Fringe and missing it, the second novel called The Burning Man is out this week, too. So, theater. You guys need to plan your trips to New York next spring. There's going to be a limited engagement. It's previews in March, opens in April at the Barrymore Theater. A Raisin in the Sun.
Ooh, who's doing it?
Diane Carroll and Denzel Washington.
Oh, wow!
Yes. And, Annika Noni Rose.
Yes. Princess and the Frog.
Yeah. She is in it too. So, yeah, it's really great cast.
Wow.
And I'm sorry, Denzel Washington. I mean, Diane Carroll on stage.
Yeah.
Big movie star, Denzel Washington. Anyhow, that will be next spring, but they've announced that it's official and the whole cast is set. So.
Well, look for them in the Tony nominations next year.
Yes. Yeah, and it plays through the beginning of June or mid-June. It plays right up into the Tony Awards.
Of course it does.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see whether, you know, like, and depending how good he is on stage.
Right.
I mean, if Denzel Washington on film, it doesn't mean he's good on stage.
Right, this is very true. And I don't know if he's ever done Broadway before.
I'm not sure. So, anyhow, you can put that on your calendars for next spring.
All right. Well, in entertainment news, across the pond, yesterday was like bananas day. Like the entire world stopped as the BBC held a live 30-minute television program to announce the 12th Doctor to replace Matt Smith. And it was like build up. So here we are running a dress rehearsal yesterday and have my phone. And that the other, one of the other guys in the cast is also a big Doctor Who fan. We're waiting and we're waiting. And I have to go on stage and still has an announcement hasn't been made. So I get off stage and he tells me it's Peter Capaldi.
Which everybody knew it was going to be.
Yeah, and I was hoping against hope that it would be something. It would have something big. You know, I was like a Hugh Laurie or a Stephen Fry or something, you know.
That would be pretty sweet, either of those.
So, and that's not to say, Peter is a fantastic actor. He's very dynamic. He's.
And I think that's why they don't want a big star, because their personality will overshadow the character.
I know. My only hitch with this, and I am such a continuity freak, is that Peter did appear in an episode of the David Tennant, Donna Noble, and Catherine Tate, season 4. Which was, and it was Rome. It was Pompeii. It was the,
it was the Pompeii one he was in.
And he was a head of a family that they were saving. And the controversy was, should they save anybody? You know, are we going to screw up, mess with history? But then he also had a huge role in the Torchwood Children of Earth series.
Right.
Where he's part of this conspiracy. And I posted on Twitter yesterday, I'm like, if Captain Jack ever runs into the new Doctor, it's going to be really weird because I've seen you before and you committed suicide.
Yeah, but it's a different character. And this is not that uncommon that somebody will like guest star on a show.
That's true.
And they will just like them so much that they'll bring them back for a different character, whether it's another one-off guest star or whether, you know, it's a recurring or whatever.
It happened with Gwen Miles in the, she was the maid in the Charles Dickens episode.
Yep.
And then she came back to be Gwen Cooper on Torchwood.
Exactly. And it's, and afterwards they may say there's some connection or whatever. It's not. You like the actor.
Yeah.
You're like, you're casting Torchwood and you're like, hey, remember that chick?
Yeah.
She was really good. She'd be great in this role. And you bring her back and you like her and you cast her.
Yeah,
it's not that unheard of.
Yeah. But Peter is well into his 50s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you shift the tenor of the series to a much older Doctor.
Yep.
And then you have a very...
And now he's a very young companion right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
And he has a great sense of humor.
Each other. Yeah.
He's an intense Scot. You know, David Tennant was Scottish as well. And then you had Karen Gillan, who was the Scottish companion. So it does bring a very different vibe. And I'm curious to see what Stephen Moffat does with it. Now, we're going to get the 50th anniversary special on November 23rd. Mm-hmm. We're going to get the Christmas episode that will showcase the transition from Matt to Peter. But then we've got an entire year off before we get any more Doctor Who.
Okay.
Because they're busy doing other things.
All right, then.
So I don't believe it will be till the end of 2014 before we see any new, like the fall of 2014 before we see any new Doctor Who.
Season.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'll miss Matt. That's all I really. But I did this too with Tennant. And,
exactly.
You know.
Yep. And Christopher Eccleston, who did great. He only did one season, but.
He was amazing.
Yep.
So, yeah, I always like, no, don't go. And then I really like the next one. So
this is the reason the franchise has been around for 50 years.
Right.
You know, you can do this type of thing. And it is somewhat poetic in that they're going back to an older Doctor because that's how the series started.
Yeah.
So, all right, we shall see. The Television Critics Association fall upfronts have been happening in Los Angeles, and they're wrapping up now. ABC screened Joss Whedon's pilot episode, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has probably been the best-kept secret of the new television season. Marvel and the network are both hoping the series brings back that kind of must-see, must-talk-about TV we haven't experienced since Lost. Joss says there's a unique synergy between the Marvel films and the show, but it's more than just an Easter egg farm, as he says. It's they're gonna use the case of the week type format.
Okay.
But they're going to tap into the entirety of Marvel's 50-year mythology without being gratuitous.
To run through it, too. So.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see Ming-Na Wen, or Ming-Na, however she's going, is in the show. Clark Gregg is back as Agent Coulson. Kobe Smulders is making a cameo appearance in the first episode because she still has her series on the air.
Right.
So I'm hoping after How I Met Your Mother ends with this season that she's going to jump onto the show, because I really like her in that role. You don't?
I was not impressed with her in the movie.
All right, because
she did nothing.
Maybe it's because I like that character from the books so much.
That's what I'm going to guess.
Yeah, that there
is. I don't really know the other character.
There's much
really
more to her. She's a great foil for Nick, and I don't know if we're not going to see Sam Jackson. So I think this is going to be a self.
Her character would evolve, but what it was in the Avengers movie, it was like not. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah. Well, it's there is a deleted scene where. There is a deleted scene where she goes head to head with Nick Fury with Sam.
Then I might like it, but. Yeah, I don't know what they actually showed and what she actually did. There was nothing.
Yeah. Disney ABC also unveiled their plans for the 13-episode standalone spinoff, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which follows young Alice once she emerges from the rabbit hole. Beginning with her stint in an insane asylum.
This is like the most pointless thing on television. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tell it some, on the other show. What, really? We need to spin off?
Well, apparently the shows are going to run concurrently. So they will dovetail at certain points. But if this is successful, they're going to do it again next season with another.
That's ridiculous. Who cares about these characters? Enough for all that. Really?
Well.
All right.
I don't know. The magic and mystery of Sharknado will not die.
Oh, my God.
The third television broadcast brought even higher numbers than the first two.
Wow.
And pre-sales for last weekend's limited big screen showings were so surprisingly high and sold out so many shows, they not only added more screens, they did a red carpet premiere in Los Angeles.
Oh, my.
So this has grown well beyond, their 15 minutes are long since over.
Yeah.
And yet we're going to get another one. So this is the cult B-movie of the century. Jim Cameron has announced plans to direct and produce not one, not two, but three Avatar sequels, the first being released in Christmas 2016.
Oh, the news keeps getting better.
Oh, God. Ryan Murphy has revealed that Glee will deal with the death of Cory Monteith's character Finn, though not as a result of a direct drug overdose.
See how they do it all. They said they're going to address the issue.
Okay.
But who knows how.
Rob Lowe and Rashida Jones are leaving the cast of NBC's Parks and Rec in episode 13 of the new season, as the writers feel their characters have kind of reached a natural conclusion. And Ellen DeGeneres will return to host the Oscars this year. That's all I got for news.
Okay. Well, we finally stopped. Kim finally made a quick out in public appearance.
Oh, really? Has she been hiding?
What?
Has she been hiding?
Yeah, she's been wherever, hiding with the baby and all that. But they made it appear, so Kris Jenner's show, like promos for her show, like you're going to see Kim.
Yeah.
And everybody, of course, wants to see Kim's body and whatever. She lost the weight, which is just ridiculous. But anyhow, of course, they made it into this huge thing, and it was like nothing. Like Kim did this little video thing and Kris, cries when she sees it. Kim's, lives at their house.
Ah, she never sees her, right?
It was this huge dramatic thing. But they made it like it was going to be the huge thing, and then it was nothing.
Oh, boy.
So, anyhow. Wow, the Kardashians playing the media and the public.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Now, I know last week you said we got done recording. You're like, crap, we didn't talk about Amanda Bynes.
We didn't talk about crazy Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
So Amanda Bynes is still crazy, but she's locked up crazy now.
Oh.
So, and the judge extended it. They had her on a short hold. She started a fire in some stranger's, like, driveway. Like, little old lady's driveway. She started a fire in. It was, like, in her parents' neighborhood, though. Okay. And she accidentally soaked her dog in gasoline or whatever and then ran into a convenience store to wash off her dog. And
oh, my God.
So, anyhow, it was finally enough. She was finally a danger, so they... You know, put her in a psychiatric unit for observation, and you can keep somebody for 72 hours,
okay.
You know, if you think they're a danger. And beyond that, a judge has to approve it. And so a judge approved a two-week stay
okay.
for her. And, it looks like we may be right, that there is some maybe schizophrenia going on with her. And
she's
healthy and well and all that, and her parents are trying to get conservatorship. It's like, you know, Britney Spears all over again.
Yeah. And that's too bad, because schizophrenia isn't an easy fix.
No, it's not. So we'll see. Maybe it is, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Who knows what it really is. But anyhow, she's at least getting stable at the moment. Whether she'll stay that way, we'll have to see.
All right.
So they're all doing good. Lindsay's out of rehab now.
Oh, in time for the premiere of her movie?
She had to remove all the alcohol before she checked in.
Oh.
Maybe she's being smart.
No, not really.
No, but she, when her big, so she had her first job out of rehab. She guest hosted Chelsea Handler.
Oh, Get Out.
Yeah. And supposedly I didn't watch her because whatever. But
yeah.
Supposedly did a pretty good job.
All right.
So anyhow, I don't know. Maybe all of our crazy little girls are getting well.
Well, then you'll just have to find somebody else to talk about.
I'm sure we will. Like the psycho in Venice Beach.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And play Grand Theft Auto.
Is that what they think happened?
It was not like somebody turning wrong or accident. This is some crazy who decided he wanted to mow down strangers with his car.
So for those of you who don't know, Venice Beach has this boardwalk, the infamous boardwalk, where, mm-hmm. you know, artists set up, they have...
famous and infamous.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a very highly trafficked area. There's a lot of shops and restaurants and things along that stretch. But there are little side streets that go down that dead end at the boardwalk, and you're not allowed to drive on the boardwalk. I mean, cops drive down there to handle things, but regular people are not allowed to drive. And every once in a while, you'll get a senior citizen who turns the wrong way and doesn't know what they're doing, and they're like, get out. But this guy apparently did this on purpose, correct?
Yes. That is what it seems. He purposefully went down to the boardwalk and floored it and was swerving, trying to hit people, and he hit numerous people and killed one person so far. But then he like got out of the car and took off.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Santa Monica police station and turned himself in.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's in custody, so we'll see once the story comes out and they interview him and whatever.
Okay. All right. That'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, thank you for reading our reviews at DVD Verdict. And until next time, Melissa Ann, do you have any parting words of wisdom?
And just when I think I know, there she goes. Goodbye for now.